Hello?
Mr. Colonel what?
Yeah.
This is William Warriors. I'm from Akron, calling from Akron. And I'm with the Flying Saucer Investigating Committee here. I suppose you've had your share of this kind of call, haven't you?
Oh, I've had quite a bit, yeah, I have.
So we were real interested in your story because the Cleveland Plain Dealer carried one account, and then the Beacon Journal carried another account.
Yeah.
And I was quite interested. Have you a few minutes to share with us here?
Yeah, I'll talk to you in a few minutes, Ben.
All righty. Would you tell me when the original story occurred?
I'd like to explain something to you. I don't know what you heard or what you read, but for the safety benefit of my family, we've labeled it a hoax, and intend to stay with unless an official investigation comes out and says otherwise, and I've given some type of.
And we are certainly not labeling anything hoaxes as such, you know.
Yeah.
Because we've had too much experience with the whole relationship of UFOs and close contact.
Yeah.
But would you briefly just tell me what the whole background story is?
Well, back in 1950, I saw some type of object in the distance. It was kind of foggy that day. One thing that caught my attention is high altitude and didn't have any wings on it, and it was traveling fast. However, I was on the tractor, and of course it was running, and I don't know whether it didn't sound to it or not. And a little later on, March the 21st, I was measuring dust field, pre-measuring field, and I seen an object of some type come south. Going northwest, traveling roughly 50 miles per hour, maybe something like 200 feet off the ground. It looked like it was about 100 feet long, shaped like a cylinder, round like a cylinder. And the front come out to a blunt point. The color was dark gray. And approximately, let's see, on March the 31st, I run up on a similar type of object in a road just close to the house, and I was under the impression that it was a bunch of Air Force personnel working on some type of experimental equipment. Of course, I was determined to sit there in a road, and I was raised out here in the same area, and I thought, well, the fellow could get into it while he's an Air Force personnel be sitting there working. However, it wasn't. I didn't see anybody. I talked to somebody or something, or some type of machine for roughly 5 minutes. And when I went back and got picked up, pulled around it, it was definitely looking off into the same thing that I'd seen previously on March the 21st. And on April the 11th, March 31st.
Yes.
The Air Force came over and made investigations. Several law personnel made investigations, and none of them would tell me, the Air Force, anybody, what it was.
Well, now, did Mr. Hynek talk with you personally?
He didn't say it, no, huh?
Yeah.
He didn't say it. They wouldn't tell me what it was, so it was still around in the area on April the 11th. I got on a small one and was transferred to another one, gave an physical, and put back in this little one, and left back up in the back picture. That's just a short rundown. It's a long, drawn out prayer.
Yeah, well, now, were you actually in space?
The only answer I could give that was changed in the atmosphere. And they was definitely cool. Now, however, there wasn't any windows. I couldn't see out of either one of them.
Well, now, how did you make the transfer between objects?
It was done through some type of a metal they came over and investigated and sent them smashed right past the Air Force Base.
Well, you know there's some very interested people over there at the Kelly Air Force Base. Did you know this?
No.
I had occasion to talk with some Kelly Air Force people a couple, 3 years ago. And it was quite an experience.
Where is Kelly Air?
Over at San Antonio.
Oh, is that so?
Which is quite a ways from you. So actually then, in the lie detector test thing, what actually altered your story?
Well, I was going through the process of trying to get some permanent evaluation before anything was released.
Yeah.
And Hiding talked to me back right after Thanksgiving. And discussed the matter. He discussed it, I guess, roughly an hour or something like that. And he wanted to see the pictures that I had taken. Well, I sent, I believe, five or six up there. And he took 5 or 6 weeks, something like that, to run some type of analysis. During that time, there was a small newspaper, large newspaper at Amarillo. They got wind of a little about what was going on. And they come down here, snooping around, and went back up there and planted what they found out. Well, when they come out here and talk to me, I told them I wouldn't tell them anything until I got some type of permanent evaluation. And I was trying to go to Professor Hynek and get some type of evaluation. Well, they called Professor Hynek and insisted on some type of evaluation, and he wouldn't give me anything, amount to anything. And he sent the Associated Press and the Houston Post up here right after that, about a week, 10 days, something like that, after that, to conduct an investigation to gather up all the information, finish him, let him evaluate. They gathered up all the information. We'd like to photograph past, and we'd like to send the pictures to the Polaroid Corporation for a permanent evaluation. And the photograph test we've been trying to get set up for 3 or 4 days. And we had it set up for 5 o'clock Monday afternoon. Well, the Associated Press and the United Press is in, it is flat tooth nail practically. And the United Press got wind a little about what was going on and come up here and went out with a short story to undercut the Associated Press.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they wanted to speed it up then to 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock Sunday, if we could make it. And I agree. It's about 9 o'clock Saturday night. I got a threatening phone call that stated that if I went through the photograph test, my family would be in great danger. However, I didn't know what maybe it was a kid, a prank, something like that. And I didn't think too much about it. And about 10 o'clock, they called me and told me we had it set up for 11 o'clock Sunday morning in Amarillo, which is roughly 125 miles from here, something like that. So I got up early and left about 7:30, and I had went. I had went 35, 40 miles, something like that, and the area that I was in then was hilly. I went over top of the hill, down from that hill, there was a car stalled in the over a culvert, and a woman standing out in the opposite lane with the door open, waving the purse. Well, I pulled over in the opposite lane and stopped. Soon she had a flat, ran gas system, kind of car trouble. And got out, walked up to her, stepped close to her, grabbed the front car, and asked her if she was in front of them. Well, I heard something from behind. Then I was knocked down, hit below the neck, knocked down, and I rolled over, and the two men, one dressed in a dark, either a black suit or a dark I couldn't come up with anything like that myself. So then all this discussion, the door of the examination room was cracked. And the Associated Press, Houston Press reporter, and Amarillo Globe Times reporter was sitting out there writing all this stuff down. And the examiner, after finally convinced him that it was a hoax, said, well, I'll come out on TV and just give a short statement that I give you a polygraph examination, and it showed that you lied and you said it was a hoax.
Well, did you actually take the test?
Yes, Yes, I did.
No, actually, sir, as you were taking the test, what did you do to make it show up as a hoax?
Well, I don't know anything about a polygraph test, but the stuff he strapped on me looked to me like it worked off electricity. Every time he'd ask me a question that was relevant to that, I would tense and increase the tension. I didn't know whether that had any effect on it or not. Storm shelter. And in a little bit, while this car came on
Because now you don't have anything at all, do you?
No, I have certified mail, you know. I'll have certified slip before they receive.
And they promise to send them back to you?
Yeah.
Well, I would assume the university will keep their word on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been quite so sure if other agencies had gotten it, but I think they would.
Yeah. Well, they seem to look at it with open mind. These three investigators did, and commented to me several times that it had happened before, that people had been threatened, and the safety of the family was involved. It was going to be just an old thing.
Do you know who the people were from the university?
Let me see here. Let's see. The one that was this year by Condon is Captain Robert Falk.
Oh, yes?
Post Office Box 1, Tulsa.
I've heard the same before. Yes.
And another one, let's see, Bill Corder.
Well, I'm not acquainted with him.
He is the private detective of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh.
And James A. Hartley, special sheriff deputy, field and investigation coordinator.
And these men were sent in from Dr. Condon?
Yeah.
Have we missed anything that you think would be of special interest here and the experience you had while aboard the craft?
Well, I was on that thing for roughly an hour and a half. It was actually what happened, it would be pretty long. I'll tell you just a short rundown of what happened.
If you would, please.
They was on March the 31st. Whatever or whoever I talked to in that object wanted more or less for me to take some type of business. And on the April 11th, I was in a pickup, pulled into a road going up to a vacant farmhouse. And pickup died. The area around the pickup started lighting up. However, it was lightning that night, and I didn't pay much attention to it. But I turned the starter, started with work. Well, I had seen some light just about that time in the rearview mirror, and I stepped out of the pickup, turned around, faced back, and there was a craft about 30 feet long, 15 feet high, shaped similar to an egg. Flattered on the bottom than it was top. It had some type of bubble or plastic seal on top of it, and the door was open. Two men were standing on the step. Two men were standing looking out the door. And one of them said, let's go and let you take your physical examination. Well, I had two choices. I could get on it, or I'd take out across this crowd single foot. And previously, there had already been some car chase in the area at high speed by something. And I didn't think I'd have much chance going out across this single foot. So I asked them if they had harmed me in any way. And they said no. And I asked them if they'd bring me back. And they said, we'll bring you directly back. So they stepped down, the other two stepped back in the door, inside the south, probably whatever it was. And I went up the steps, the other two came in, and the two that was in the ship to start with came over and told me to sit down in this chair. It was similar to a reclining type chair. Was quite as large. And I didn't sit down in it. I went walked behind, standing kind of behind. And they were got together in the center, and there was long, flexible, hypodermic-type needles and out of it. And instead of coming out and penetrating him, again, he came out and laid down against the skin. And one about every. Well, during all this process, the other man, the one who seemed to be in control, was down at the other end of the chief, this chief. Either was, well, the top of it reduced down. Instead of being 6 feet high, it reduced down to about 4. And extended on out to about 8 feet. And out of the skin, where it was about 14 times, there's a piece of paper coming out of it about 18 inches wide. And the one that seemed to be in control, just every few minutes, he'd walk down, look at that paper, then he'd walk back, look at me, just back and forth all the time. And they had to stand in front of it about 5 minutes. Then they had me to turn around and push it back against it, and then jump something to his knob there, and had to stand there about 5 minutes. And when it was over with, he told me to get dressed, turned that a throat switch, foot step. And the other man let this paper run, later run just a short time, and then tore it off and looped it over his arm, came about where I was standing. And I asked him how it turned out. And he said about all I can tell now is you're 8 pounds overweight. Well, they told me to get dressed, and these two men went back to the other compartment where the other four men had stayed or was, I don't know which. But I got dressed and looked around in that room. And in the right hand corner of the room, there was a desk, chair behind it, and a mouth on top of the desk. Roughly a yard square, one mouth off the chart, and directly in front of the desk, and on the right hand corner